Go ahead and open up to Galatians chapter 2 and put a marker in Philippians chapter 1. They're close by. Still teaching on the subject of authority, power. What we're going to look at right here at the beginning is really not the lesson tonight, but it's something that in my communion with the Lord today was just showing me. Got to remember, I'm a Babdecostal. I was raised on my dad's side of the family, Southern Baptist. And as Pastor Dave says, thank God for the Baptist. If it wasn't for the Baptist, where would we Pentecostals get our people, you know? Catholics and Baptists, you know. A few Methodists and Presbyterians sprinkled in. But on my mom's side, now, they were Holiness Pentecostal. Skirt all the way to the floor, hair up in a bun, no makeup, not going to bring any dice, no checkers, no cards into their house. Right on the other side, on my dad's side of the family, on the Southern Baptist side, not only did they have cards in the house, they played canasta every week. Grandpa had, he was one of the first ones in his area to have a black and white TV. And back then they had Friday night boxing. And all the farmers for miles around came to Grandpa's house to watch Friday night boxing. The men watched boxing and the women played canasta. Now the reason I bring that up, as I watched both sides growing up, you know what I found out was really important? They both loved Jesus. Now they understood a lot of things differently. They might not could have got along on a lot of issues, but when it came right down to it, it was the blood of the Lamb that was getting them all into heaven, see? Jesus and your walk with Jesus is what really matters. Now, in my communion with Him today, I was... How do I say that, Lord? Let me say it this way. And I'm not so much talking about my grandparents now. Just in my Christian life, being around Christians, and I'm not really even talking the prayer center, mainly that first 12 years before here, but sometimes after. Much of the time, when Christians get together in fellowship, what it is, it's a mountain fest. Everyone's talking about their mountain. They'll tolerate you while you tell them about your mountain, but they're hardly listening at all because they just can't wait to tell you about their mountain. They talk about the mountain, compare the mountains, discuss issues for the mountains, but nobody ever does what Jesus says. Jesus said, talk to the mountain. You know, they even pray to God to move the mountain. And He didn't say, pray to Him to move the mountain. He said, you speak to the mountain. But that, even that's not really the lesson tonight, although that would be a good one, wouldn't it? It's good to be put in remembrance of that. But I was remembering so many of the conversations that have gone on, Christians fellowshipping, and it's trouble, despair, bad things that are happening, mountains, so forth. And I think the Lord was giving me a preview of that which is to come. Because suddenly I saw a group of people. It wasn't individuals. It was just a collection of Christians. And you want to know what they were just, it was joyful. It was happy. It was everything that you want. It was, Dirk told me, he said, it's like a party. The atmosphere of a party. And you know what the topic of discussion was? Everybody couldn't wait to tell what Jesus did through them today. I can't wait to tell you what He did. And He did it through my hands, or he did it through my wallet, or He did it through this phone call, or He loved an atheist today. He opened a blind eye today. He this, He that. That's your future. Now that's your future. Now here's scripture for that. Galatians 2:20. Really, let's start in verse 19. We normally just start in verse 20. I'm going to give Alan credit. One of his messages during the conference was just, well, they were all outstanding. But the one where he went to Romans 7 and talked about how we're dead to the law by the body of Christ. Now he did it from there. and showing how you were married. Everybody's married to the old nature when you're born. You don't have a choice. You're kind of born married to that old guy. But see, Christ, he completely joined with that sin nature. And when he died, he swallowed up that death. The type and shadow is Pharaoh's court when they cast down Aaron's rod, which is wood, which is a type of the cross. And that rod turned into a snake. And then the magicians, they threw down their little rods and they become snakes. But Aaron's rod, that was a snake, swallowed up all the other snakes. So your first husband, the old nature, died. And now you're free to marry another. Free to marry the one that's been raised from the dead. Jesus Christ is your husband now. See, I have to get used to the fact, Doug, even me and Doug with our hairy legs, like it or not, we're Eve. Jesus is the last Adam. The church is the bride. Well, if he's Adam, guess who that makes me? Right on the other hand, he is a good provider. I got me a good husband. It sounds weird for me to even talk like that. Anyway, the imagery that Alan used, now he was doing it from Romans 7, how that Christ, through the body of Christ, your old nature basically died. He took that nature, and it died with Christ. Now that Christ has been raised from the dead, you're free to marry another. And who that is Jesus Christ himself, the risen Lord. But now here's the same lesson in one verse. Galatians 2:19. Paul says, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law." You know, if you've been declared guilty and executed, you and the law are done. That's the end of the transaction. Isn't that right? If you're found guilty and executed, it's done. You know that nobody tries to punish dead men. How many dead men you know are still in prison? None. There really are people here. They're just, I don't know, they're scared or something. You know, they can't see you on the camera. I have to tell them you're here. No, you're done. That's what he's saying. I was found guilty. But I died in Christ. When he died, I died in him. That's what this means, the next verse. Verse 19, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." In Romans 7, he said that you can marry another. You can live with another. You got another husband now. Well, how did that happen? "For I am crucified with Christ. When he died, I died in him." You got that? That old nature died. You're dead to the world too, by the way. There's a verse I was meditating today. It's in one of the Corinthians. He's talking about, Paul says, "I want to present you as a chaste virgin unto Christ." Here we go again. The church. What is it? What is a chaste virgin? See, the enemy's always trying to bring up your past. All of that life you had in the world before you got saved. But see, a chaste virgin, well, that's a virgin that really is a virgin, meaning she never had relations with the world. As far as God's concerned, you so died in Christ. That new creature that you really are, can I say it? You never were in bed with the world. "Well, I have slipped a lot since then." Have you ever heard of 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful to not only forgive us, but to cleanse us from 3/4, 1/2, all unrighteousness. You say it out loud, "I am a chaste virgin." As far as my husband's concerned, well, no, that's not even good enough. The truth is, the real me. I've never had an affair with the world. That's what the blood of Jesus has done for me. Need to let guilt and shame throw it into the sea along with your sins. That's where God put it. "But I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Well, you quickened to Ephesians. If we had time to go there, you were quickened together with Him, raised up together with Him, seated together in heavenly places in Him. See? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, you do know Christ is not Jesus' last name. What does Christ mean? It means the Anointed One and His anointing. Say it with me. The Anointed One lives in me.
The Anointed One lives in me.
The Anointed One and His anointing lives in me.
The Anointed One and His anointing lives in me.
I live. Yet not I.
Yet not I.
But the Anointed One lives in me.
And
the life which I now live in the flesh,
I live by the faith of the Son of God,
who loved me
and gave Himself for me.
Hallelujah. Now, with that thinking in mind, now go over to Philippians chapter 1. Now, Paul here is writing to these Philippians who have been supporting him, and he's really in a strait betwixt two. Part of him wants to go on and be with the Lord. Part of him. I mean, none of us have ever thought like this. It'd just be better to go on and be with Jesus, you know. He says, I know to depart and be with Christ is far better. But he's kind of going, well, I'm back and forth here. But he you know what he decides. It's better to stay and be with you. But here's the reason why. Verse 21. And I misquoted this verse for years. I used to say it like this. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Have you all ever met any Christians? I'm not saying they're not Christians, but you watch how they live. You're not exactly sure. That's how Christ would live that day. All right. I'm not kidding. There are people here. I don't know why they're so quiet tonight. Well, there's a lot of people born again with very little fruit. I was one of them for years. Compared to the fruit that's coming, I may still be having about 2%. One of Dave's friends was here many years ago, and he was preaching, and he gave a little testimony one time. He'd been serving the Lord a long time. Him and Dave both had, as Tim McFall, him and Dave had started off in Oregon, and they'd both seen miracles and had miracles. And Dave tells that funny story, you know, he says, he'd be having a meeting somewhere just by himself, and he'd have somebody come give a testimony. My back was, I was killing me, and after prayer, my back is not hurting me anymore. And Dave would go, you know how funny he is, go, which one of my meetings were you healed in? And the person would go, it weren't you at all. It were Tim McFall. So Tim McFall had miracles and had meetings, and meetings where miracles happened. I'm really okay. But one day he said, I was asking the Lord about my maturity level, you know, and I think actually the Lord said to him, where do you think you are on a scale of 0 to 100? Where do you think you are on your walk of maturity? And he says, I was going to be humble, so I purposely chose a number, you know, 0 to 100, right? So from where I thought I really was, I chose a lower number, maybe 60%. He said, just as he said that, a thermometer, 0 to 100, appeared on the back wall, and a light started blinking 2 inches off the floor. Sometimes we're not quite as far along as we think we are. It doesn't mean you're not a Christian. But what I'm saying is the fruit. Paul, now look at how that verse really is. It doesn't say to live is Christ and to die is gain. It says for to me, to Paul. Paul had come to the place of transformation. He had come to that place of mortification and edification, where in all humility, he's not bragging here. I don't think he's bragging at all. He just, what's that old deal? It ain't bragging if it's so. He's just saying, well, for me personally, see, look at verse 23 right near the end. Having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. For him personally, it'd be better just to go on and start enjoying his eternal reward. But he's going, no, Lord, the Lord's not done with me yet. And as long as I'm alive, far as I'm concerned, I've come to the place, to me, for me to live, is Christ. Now, you can study that out. Here's what you're going to find in the Greek language, or just really meditate it. What he's saying is this. He says, I am walking with the Lord to the point that if you follow me around today and see what I do, see what happens through me, it wouldn't be any different than if you were to follow Jesus around in the flesh. Because Christ is living in me to that degree. He was showing me previews. We're going to get together. We're going to be like the 70. We're going to be so excited. We'll come back in. Did you guys know that even the devils are subject unto us in His name? We're going to be, I can feel their excitement. It's almost like they're informing the Lord of something He didn't know. He's the one that sent them out. And they're coming back like, Lord, like, did you know? When we use your name, devils have to bow. Devils have to go. That's going to be our common testimony. Common testimony. And right now, it's bringing to remembrance. You need to start getting over yourself. One of the 12 that he sent out that cast out devils, healed the sick, raised the dead, and cleansed the lepers was Judas Iscariot. It's not by your own power. It's not by your own holiness. It is that name and faith in that name. Now, the flip side of that is, are we supposed to walk in holiness? Absolutely. But that's, see, where the enemy gets in that equation right there. He says, well, you'll never walk in power until you're perfect. Well, then that eliminates everybody. We're not that stupid, church. If he can anoint, say it with me. If he could anoint Judas. Come on, more people. If he could anoint Judas. With the Holy Ghost and power. To cast out devils. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. And cleanse the leper. He can do it through me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's, say it with me, it's not by my own power, and it's not by my own holiness. It is that name and faith in that name that releases the Holy Ghost to manifest the kingdom of God. Say, for me to live every day is Christ. I may not be walking there totally yet. Even Paul said he didn't think he'd apprehended. But he said he was pressing towards the mark. And I'm pressing toward the mark. And God used Paul on that journey. And he's going to use me on that journey. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, yes, sir. Okay. I guess he just wants to get right into it. All right. Go to Mark chapter 13. This is a seldom preached passage, but it's going to become one of your favorites. God has a place and a calling for every member in His body. Did you know there's no part of your body that's not useful to you? Now, there's some parts that you can live without. I haven't had my tonsils since I was about 5 years old. I think that's the age I was. But I believe tonsils were originally in there for a purpose. Okay? I'm real glad that even though you can't see my liver, I'm sure glad I got one. I'm glad it's doing what it's supposed to be doing. My kidneys, my lungs, all these parts, you know. Thank God every part of the body has a function and functioning correctly. Well, I don't care. I'm glad my little toe. I'm glad I have it. I'm glad it works correctly. You know, I trim the nail on it once in a while and everything. Now, Dave says it's attached to the foot, which complains that it's supporting the weight of this ministry. But anyway, that's another thing. Now, the reason that's important, look at this. This is something that's seldom ever preached. Let me get make sure I got yes, I got my ducks in a row here. Mark 13. Starting in verse 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not his angels which are in heaven, neither the Son. And he means in his humanity, but the Father. Take you heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house. Now, if you underline, you ought to underline this next section. And gave authority to his servants. Look at me. Hello, servants. And to every man his work. And commanded the porter to watch. Watch you therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at evening or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. All. This is not just for the 12. It's not just for the 70. This is for every member of the body of Christ. Now let's back up. Verse 34. Would you say the Lord is on a far journey? He is seated right now at the right hand of God. Now I know in the spirit he's present with us. But him in his glorified body is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. That's a fair journey. Okay? But while he's gone, what has he done? He has given authority, and yes, that is that Greek word exousia. Let me remind you of Vine's definition of exousia. Exousia is the right to exercise power. You are the agent of authority in his name. The Holy Spirit is the agent of power. Okay? He gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. You don't really get to choose your calling. He gives you your work. He gives you what it is he wants you to do. I was counseling with two different men. One of them's really young. The other one's somewhere between there and my age. Over the last 2 days. And both of them have the same issue. They have glimpses, they have inklings of what God's called them to do, but not enough clarity to act on it. And so they're kind of in this quandary. And I know right where they are. I was there for so long. I mean, and if I'm not careful, it's easy to get there again. But what it is, you'll get an inkling or a taste, you'll get some knowledge. It reminds me of Dave's parable of China. You remember the guy that he prayed and prayed and he finally heard China? So he said, well, God's called us to China, and took his wife and his kids and sold everything they had, moved to China. They spent 3 years over there, never won one soul to Jesus. All the kids got sick, finally had to come back in disgrace and poverty, lost everything. And he got in prayer and said, Lord, why did you send me to China? And God says, I never sent you to China. Your wife's anniversary was coming up, and I wanted you to buy your wife some China. Now, that's ridiculous, but that's not far off. People get a little inkling, you know. Well, maybe I need to do all kinds of things, you know. Now, I told them the same thing I'm going to say to you. I've been at this a while. Number one, write this down. Or do it later and write it down. Number one, nothing ever takes God by surprise. Whatever circumstance you're in, God knew about it before the foundation of the world. Relax. See, that knowledge, when you realize that this is not a surprise to God, because what's the second part of that? He already has a plan for your journey. He already has the plan. Now, where people miss it, and what I counsel both of these fellas, I said, for the love of God, quit trying to figure it out. And just go pray it out. That's why he gave, one of the main reasons he gave you the Holy Spirit. For when we know not what to pray as we ought, the Holy Spirit, he'll make intercession for you according to the perfect will of God. He knows the plan. And part of the reason you can't utter the words is you don't know what to pray anyway. You don't know what it is. How would I have prayed 30 years ago or so when I got saved? How would I have prayed, make me a teacher in the body? I would not have known that. I had no idea what I was called to do. See? But eventually I did. After praying 5 minutes, it was a little longer than that. A lot longer than that. See? But we're the body of Christ. And I'm telling you, it causes divorces. It causes suffering for children. God's called me to leave, you know. Well, he's called me to this, so obviously I need to quit my job and live by faith. Listen, you got chapter and verse. If you got a wife and kids, get a job, lazy man. Now, you get a job unless he overrides that like he did with the fishermen. And he says, come and follow me. Now, if he comes and he says, come and follow me, then you go and follow him. But until then, he that does not provide for his own is worse than an infidel. Get a job. Hold a job. Be the best at your job. And let everyone know you're a Christian while you do it. Amen?
Amen.
But it's not wrong to want to know the rest of that. But trust me when I say you're not qualified to figure it out. Now, that's good. All of a sudden, I saw in my mind all these ministries, not by name, but I saw like all of these men. I'm going to say the vast majority of ministries today were never called by God in the first place. Now, I'm sorry. They got an inkling. I'm not saying there's an inkling. They may have got that from God. But most people do not have the patience. Let me say it another way. The endurance, like the prophecy out there on the wall, to wait on God, pray and pray and fast and pray and fast and pray until you hear his plan. His plan will work. So, well, I followed God and it failed. No, you did not. You did not. Now, you might say, I followed God and wound up in prison. That's entirely possible. Boy, not an amen. Paul being our prime example, you know, and the way things are going, he may have company. But to say that it failed, I tell you what, sometimes you follow him, it'll sure look like failure. There was that time when Sue and I obeyed what he said for us to do, and with all that I knew how, we were obeying, and every day that I lived, we were going further in debt. And everything looked like I missed it. Everything looked like it was wrong. How big was it? A $500 debt? How about $47,000 at the worst? It got right at $47,000. I don't know about you. I consider that debt. Never been so in debt except for a house in my life, you know. And I used to whine and complain. And, you know, here we go. Talk about mountains. Doing the same thing I talked about earlier. Talking about, you want to have coffee with me? Sit there while I tell you about my mountain. Really, I wasn't too bad. I wasn't too bad, but it was bad enough. With Sue, she had to listen about the mountain. And I used to whine to God. I say, I used to have impeccable credit rating, Lord. I was real careful with my credit. And obeying you, my credit's in the toilet. I couldn't buy a napkin on time, you know. And I heard him say, you just keep obeying me and I'll take care of your credit rating. Well, it sure didn't look like it. See, and we want these things over in 30 days. This went on, I'd have to go back and look, maybe 3 years. 3 years getting worse. Year two, it was worse. Year three, it was worse. And it looks like nothing's ever going to change. And that's exactly what the devil always says. I'm sure he's telling Alan right now. I mean, Alan's a hero of mine. Stand up here, no matter, you know, spit in the devil's eye while he's in the fiery furnace and preach the truth of the gospel. That takes courage. And that's a man after my own heart. But I know, because the enemy's not dead. I know the enemy's telling him, no, yeah, this is it. This is as good as it's ever going to be. The doctors were right. Yeah, this is how it is. I don't know. The devil's probably telling you the same kind of thing, you know. You gotta get past that. Jim Martin, sow the word, sow the word, sow the word, all during the, sow the word. What does God say? What does God say? Pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Listen to what he's saying to you. Because you all know the testimony. A peace finally came in my heart. I said, well, okay, I'm going to obey you, God, if I wind up in prison, if I wind up in bankruptcy, if Sue and I wind up sleeping under a bridge, I am going to do what you told me to do. And at some point, it began to turn. You know, I've told the story before. Without us sending out an appeal letter, without us, you know, sending out anything, letting anybody know about the circumstances, God started moving on the hearts of people to start sending in large sums of money. By the way, I was so hoping that would continue after the debt was paid. The first one I remember was $5,000, came from somebody in Australia, and I thought the guy made a mistake because he'd never give over about $300 before. That was a big, hey, 300 is a big, you know, big. 30 bucks is more like what we're used to. So I stayed up till like 2 in the morning to talk to this guy in Australia. And I said, now I'm afraid you might have put an extra zero on that, you know, when you sent it. I said, you know, kind of swallow. Did you really intend to send $5,000? He said, oh, you scared me half to death. I thought maybe I sent $50,000. He said, I intended to send $5,000. And I asked him, I said, well, how come you to send so much? And all he ever said was, oh, I've been saving up. Within a week or so, we got one for $7,000 from a man in Florida. We got somebody in Hungary, which I've never been to Hungary. They had a relative die. They didn't even know they was related to that person. And there was an estate of, they got $100,000. They're part of the estate, and they gave us 10. Not $10, $10,000. I told, put it on the debt. Every time something like that come in, and within one year, got us debt free. Now I get that credit, annual credit report. That's a long time ago. We've had time to rebuild. I'll just tell you right now, I get them mixed up. There's Experian and TransFund, Experian, these credit places. At one of them, I'm 825, and at the other one, I'm 827. 850 is perfect. That's pretty good. I can get a loan anywhere I want. And the good news is, don't need one, don't want one, ain't going to get one. Got all this credit and no reason to use it. Lily asked me the other day, and I drive an older car. It's an 80. What year is my car? No, not an 80. 2008. There's an 8 in there somewhere, 2008. And this is 2016. So what is it? Almost 9 years, pretty soon. 8-year-old car. It's a nice car. Really nice car. Lily was riding with me. I was taking him to school the other day. She says, Papa, if you could have any car in the world, what car would you have? And I was driving along. I was going, this one. It's the perfect car for me. I mean, it's just perfect. I don't know that I would trade it for anything. If I had the cash, I think I'd still drive this car. God is good. It pays to obey him. Y'all heard the story how I got that car? I didn't even pick out the car. Now you can. You can. He'll bless it. But see, I'd rather have the car than a car. You know what that means by that? If he'll help you pick out one, why not let him? Anyway. See, that fits this though. You have authority. Look at that verse again. Verse 34. He gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. You have work. You have... Now, what I don't mean works. You have a function in the body. Like, just like my spleen, my liver, my kidneys, my eyeball, my eyelashes, my earlobes, which are getting older and floppy. But anyway, every part of the body has a function. You have a function. Quit trying to figure it out. Go pray it out. You pray enough, even if you never hear him say what you are, you'll wind up being what you are. Because he'll lead you. You'll wind up in it without hardly knowing that happened. But you'll get instructions along the way. But it took me the longest time to understand, with that work, he gives you authority. Angie was there in the early days when we started with nothing. And when I say nothing, my first computer, I gave $50 for the whole thing. It was used, hand down. I can't remember. The hard drive was smaller than the memory that comes in them now. You know, I had this little dinky DOS program that I would do my typing on. It was called PW Data. I don't even never didn't know what the PW stood for. But it would work on that computer. And somebody, a friend of mine, gave me a nicer program to use. I don't think it was Word. It was something else, but something along the line of Word, you know. Oh, man, this will be great. So do y'all remember floppy disks? They're obsolete now, you know, be in a museum somewhere. Took forever to load those in, one at a time. Got that loaded in my computer. Oh, man, this is going to be great, man. So the first line I typed, you know, there's a blank screen on my computer, and I typed, "How now, brown cow?" And nothing. Just blink, blink, blink. I thought, well, I don't know. I'll go get some coffee, you know. Went and got some coffee. Talked to the Sue a little while. Come back in the room. Just as I walked in the room, it went H. I don't know how long it would have taken just for that one sentence. I'm trying to tell you, we started with nothing. That was the start of the ministry. And we had remember that dot matrix printer? The little, y'all remember those? But it was great because it was color. I loved that thing. Man, it print color. You know, going to print one letter. Go get coffee again. Come back. And then that thing went out on us. But I'm getting to this authority thing because it took a long time to start dawning on my mind. So we were fine with that little printer till it went out on us one day. So I thought, well, it's fine. I'll just take it. They're not very heavy. I just put it in the car and I take it to the printer shop. And I'll wait while they fix it. I'm thinking, come back and everything will be good. I get out there, come to find out their backlog said, well, you can check with us in 2 weeks. Well, I'm going, God, we're shut down. We only had that one printer. So now this was roughly, I was there waiting for them to open. I don't remember if it was 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, but it was early, whatever time it was for them to open. So this is about 10 in the morning, I'm thinking, when I find out the good news that I'm not going to have a printer for two weeks or longer. So I'm driving back and in the car, I'm going, God, you know, your word says we have not because we ask not. I want to ask you for a printer. And Lord, I like the little dot matrix, but if it's okay, and I wasn't sure if it was okay, could we have a laser one this time? I'd seen those. They don't go yitta 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 yitta. They go shoom, shoom, shoom. I said, oh yeah. Now that was roughly 10 in the morning, and I wish all my prayers got answered this quick. Some of you heard this before. About 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I haven't told anybody, just me and Sue is the only one that knows. About 2 in the afternoon, there's a knock on my door. There's a guy standing there. He's got a big old thing right here on his right hip. It's kind of heavy. And I'm going, hello? What's that? He said, God told me you needed this. It's a laser printer that we've had refurbished. They tell me it'll operate just like new. In fact, we got a warranty on it. He said, would you like to have it? I said, bring it right in here. I started learning I had authority for the work he had called me to do. And it was okay for me to ask. There is a scripture. You have not because you ask not. In James, you have not because you ask not. Now, it is possible to ask amiss, wanting to consume it on your own lusts. I like to use the example, I'm not sure the Lord is interested in your prayer for 7 Cadillacs, a different color for every day of the week, unless there's a kingdom purpose. Somebody said one time, well, would God give a preacher a freight train? If he needed it for his work, he sure gave Lester Summerall a ship. Lester used that ship to feed the nations and preach the gospel for decades. Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does that mean? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Earlier in that same chapter, he says, the Lord knows what you have need of before you. See, just because he knows does not alleviate us from the need to ask. There's a transaction. God does everything legally. And if he's given you authority for your work, it took me a while to learn I need to ask. We wound up having computers. You wouldn't believe what all we had. We had computers, multiples. We had desks. We had printers. I didn't go into debt for any of those. The only thing we ever went into debt for was supplies. And that's probably my own fault. I didn't understand enough to ask enough. Okay? Anyway, that's another thing. But when it comes to equipment, we had... Now, how many of you still remember cassette tapes? How many don't remember cassette tapes? Okay, we're still okay. All right. How many of you remember 8-tracks? How many remember 4-tracks? Oh, getting small. How many remember reel-to-reel? Okay, more of you remember that. Anyway, we had those cassette duplicators. I mean real ones, not the kind where it's, quote, high-speed dubbing, which means double speed. You put in a 90-minute tape and it makes a 90-minute tape in 45 minutes. Trust me, that's not going to get her done. Not when you're sending thousands every month. That first one that we had to buy, the Master, if I remember right, it was $2,500. And that was a while back. Let me just say a long time ago. I don't know what that would be today. Then we wound up buying two slaves that attached to that. And they were like $1,500, if I remember right, a piece. You're talking all the money in the world to us. But it wasn't all. And we never, ever sent out an appeal letter. We never. And I'm not saying that's not okay. If God tells you to do it that way, fine. But he told us not to do it that way. He said, just go directly to him. I had to learn I had authority from the king. The same one who gave me the assignment gave me authority to get what I need for the assignment. But I have to ask. You do have authority. Does it say it in your Bible? Verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house. But what did he do? He gave authority to his servants. See, I'm talking and to every man his work. He gives you the work and he gives you the authority to get it done. Now, I'm talking about from in the natural provision, things we needed to do as a teacher to send out what he told us to send. But this applies to anything. It applies to anything. If you're really an evangelist, really, you're a pure blood evangelist. You know, that's what you are. You eat, sleep, and drink souls. I mean, you know, that's your life. He has given you authority for miracles and healings because that. That's part and parcel with that calling. You understand what I'm saying? Do the work of an evangelist, it says. Well, if you read about that, it said, mighty in signs, full of faith and mighty in signs and deeds. Amen? Now, all believers have authority to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. But if you're an evangelist, you have an equipping for that job. Anyway. We don't want to get into that tonight. That's a whole different study. Now, say it with me. I can do whatever he asked me to do. Isn't that easy to say? Doesn't that sound good? I'm going to prophesy your future. Because I've been there too many times. That's so good. If I was sitting right there, I'd be right along with you. I can do whatever he says. Boy, yes, Brother Gary. And about Thursday, Friday, you're in prayer. And he tells you something to do. And when he does, it's going to be bigger than you. And you're going to go, what? You got the wrong house. Surely you're talking to Dave. You must be talking to Tim now. Ruthie, maybe. You're talking to Ruthie. You can't be talking to me. But he is. And that's where we deny the Lord without meaning to deny the Lord. The primary meaning of that word deny is to contradict. Now, that's not the end of the game. Did you know Gideon did that exactly? Here's Gideon in the Old Testament, and the Midianites, if I remember right, had ruled them for a long time. Every time they'd get a little harvest, the Midianites would just come take it. So here's Gideon. He found a little something to thresh, wheat or something, barley something. He's hiding behind the ox wagons, trying to thresh out a little food to take home. He's in fear and with good reason. If the Midianites see him, they not might take his stuff, but they might hurt him too. And right in the middle, I can just see him hiding behind the wagon trying to thresh out whatever he's doing. And God, here comes God. Thou mighty man of valor. I just wonder if Gideon looked around. You talking to me? I am the least in my family. And my family is the least in this country. Pretty well tells you what he thought about himself. God says, no, you're a mighty man of valor, and I've called you to do a work. Now, if Gideon would have persisted in his refusal, the Bible would record a whole different story about Gideon. Thank God he didn't continue to contradict the Lord. Now, in his case, he asked for a fleece. Okay, well, you've got to remember, he did not have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of him. Nowadays, if you ask for a fleece, the odds are you're going to get fleeced. Because you're a spirit-born creature, spirit-born person that's infused with God the Holy Ghost himself. You can talk to him. He can talk to you. You don't need a fleece. Okay? A lot of people pray, Lord, if it's you, open the door. That's a dangerous prayer. It seems to me in my life, every time the Lord has said, go that way, whatever that path is, Gary, do that. It seems like the first sound I heard was the devil slamming every door shut on that path. And you have to go kick them down in Jesus' name. Don't be led by open doors or closed doors. Be led by His Spirit. Be led by His voice. And you can. But I'm just going to tell you now, I've been at this a long time. People don't pray. See, nobody ever amens that. They don't. Yeah, I am too. No, because He is faithful. He is faithful and He cannot lie. He said, if you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened. If you ask, He'll give. Now, I have been in that same place. I would have said, I prayed. I like how Alan does that. He went to Brazil, you know, and this young minister was talking with him, you know, and he says, I'm having a hard time following God. I'm having a hard time. And Alan said, well, how much do you pray? And the guy kind of swelled his chest up. He said, man, I pray an hour a day. Alan says, my wife's not in ministry, and she prays more than you. But I'm telling you right now, this has been my experience, and I'm mainly going off of Alan. Alan has much more experience with ministers, you know, working where he did for so many years. He said, if you even pray 1 hour a day, in the Spirit he's talking about, you're praying probably more than 90% or 95% of the pastors in the world. They don't pray. People like to read about prayer. They like to talk about prayer. They like to write books about prayer. They like to... everything but prayer. Prayer is boring. Hello? Prayer. Now, all the ones that are amen in me, you pray. Now, it's not boring when you hear from him. I mean, that's... but how many knows that's not every 5 minutes? And I'm telling you, the Lord does not lie. He said, if you pray, if you seek Him, you will find Him. It takes time. It takes time. Now say, I can't quit now because that would make my service shorter than Nathan's that day. I love Nathan. Yes, sir. Okay, okay. Let's talk about go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 just for a minute. This is a little bit off the subject, but not exactly. There's an aspect of it that's important. Again, let's go back to Gideon. Well, okay, let's go back to King Saul. Why did King Saul wind up losing his kingdom? Why did God take it away from him and give it to King David? King Saul disobeyed. Disobedience. Could I say he denied the instructions of the Lord? He chose to do something different than what the Lord said. That will not work. And it wouldn't work then. It won't work now. Now the Lord is long-suffering and merciful. Okay. I'm really glad we live in our covenant and not in King Saul's. Okay. But the same thing is today. I can't disobey his clear instructions to Gary. What if I'd have decided, in our case, I'm just picking stuff. You know, all I know is my walk. I can't give him your example. I don't know what he's told you. But I know he told us not to sell anything. Now, a lot of ministries sell stuff. That's fine. I'm just telling you what he told me. He told me. Now, when we got in that $47,000 hole, do you think the thought ever come to me, maybe we ought to start selling stuff? Yeah, about every 2 minutes for years. Just kept coming. He told me, don't send out any appeal letters. Don't let anybody know. Do you think I was tempted? See, and I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I know how to send an appeal letter without it making it sound like an appeal letter. I can, you know, let you know sideways. Would you agree with me in prayer, brother? Got my hand out. Help me. I know how to do that. No. See, and by staying on the path that he called us, even though that it looked like certain destruction for so long, by staying on his path, that puts him on the hot seat. I don't know if he's ever on the hot seat. But it keeps the ball in his court. How about that? And he did it all on his own. I didn't do anything. And like I said, I would have loved it if those big checks would have kept coming. I was watching him whittle it down, whittle it down. 1 year, we go from 47,000 in the hole. We were down, it's been a while back. These are close. If you hear a previous tape on this and those numbers are different, those are right. But if I remember right, we had 1,300 left. We were right near the end of the year and $1,300, if I remember correctly, is all that was left. And of course, I'm thinking, Lord, it sure would be nice to start the new year, be debt free, you know. I mean, come all this way so quick and 1,300. And I got a call from a minister from overseas, and he was calling about something else, and we were talking back and forth, and he says, oh, it's a happy new year to you and your family. Our church took up donation for you. We have already wired it into your account. Be blessed. Have a happy new year. Click. Wired it into my account. Tack it, tack it, tack it. $1,310. No. Whatever it was, I remember it was $10 short. My numbers might be slight. It was roughly $1,300. Whatever it was $10 short. And I said, Lord, I got $10. I remember that. Yes. We were debt free. He did it. And he did it. And the other part of the miracle, I have to admit now, there's part of me that was hoping those $5,000 checks, $10,000 checks would keep coming. They stopped as supernaturally as they started. He did what he did what he said. We didn't need it really. We had enough. Interesting, isn't it? Now here's 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is a verse no one hardly ever preaches on either. We're going to look at verses 11 and 13. It really kind of goes along with what we were looking at there a while ago in Philippians. We are crucified with Him. So therefore, we're free to live with Him. Yes, sir. Neglect me. Well, we'll just do it right here. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. Amen? Can I get witness? Am I in the right church? Well, good, because you'll love this next part. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. Now, that suffering has two parts. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Let me find, I think I know where that one is. I think I can find it pretty quick. Hang on just a moment. Yep. 1 Peter chapter 4. He that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. This is just the most popular message. Everybody goes to church to hear how their flesh is going to suffer so they can cease from sin. See, the truth of it is, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. And those illustrations that Alan's been doing, I think they're fabulous. They're helping me understand. Wave at me, flesh. There's a flesh right there. See that what he hasn't gotten to the part, though, yet, that when you separate from the flesh and those illustrations and the flesh, you know, okay, we're mortifying you, the flesh fights back. And it suffers. And sometimes there's withdrawals, and it's not just the physical flesh, it's the emotions. Sometimes it's pride. Anyway. He that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Hallelujah. He that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness and lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them. That's the world. They don't understand. They never will understand until they get born again. You don't want to go get drunk with us? We don't understand that. See? But who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? But the main thing, he's, over here he says, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Now, if words mean anything, let me turn it around. What if you choose not to suffer with him? What if you choose not to suffer in the flesh? What's going to happen? The flesh, you're going to keep living according to the flesh. Romans 8 said, if you live after the flesh, what will happen, Christian? There are people here, I promise, I'm not lying. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. Thank you, you shall die. And that's written to Christians. But if we suffer with him, now one of them is suffering in the flesh against sin. What's the other one? Persecution for righteousness' sake. If we suffer persecution for righteousness' sake. Excuse me. The lesson I did Sunday, one right near the end of it, says, do not forget the reason that you have been given power. Why have you been given power? That you may be his witnesses. Remember that? Every time you are a witness, you are laying down your life. You're opening the door for ridicule. More and more, you're opening the door for persecution. That's why the word for witness in the Greek is M-A-R-T-U-S, martus. And it's where we get our word martyr from. Martyr. You're his witness. Willing to risk ridicule. Willing to be made a fool of. Willing to be persecuted for his name's sake. But what are we supposed to do when that happens? When you're persecuted for his name's sake, what are we supposed to do? Count it all joy, leap and shout for joy. For so persecuted they the prophets in the old time. Great is your reward in heaven, see. Amen. We have a whole different value system than the world. All right. All right, this verse. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11 again. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. Boy, now here it is, though. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Boy, now everybody denies him to a certain point. Gideon did. Peter denied him 3 times with an oath. That last time he put a dog on it. I don't know him. Probably worse than that. With an oath. Still the Lord loved him and had compassion on him and brought him on in. Amen. But this is something different. Hold your place there and go to Jude chapter 1. And this is going on in the body of Christ big time. Thousands upon thousands, if not millions, are being drawn into this deception. Men with huge churches and giant ministries are saying that the teachings of Jesus before the cross don't necessarily apply to you. They're saying you don't have to forgive. No, that was just for the Jew, not for the Christian. They're saying you're so forgiven if you sin, you don't even have to repent. You don't even have to tell him you're sorry. Well, you know that's all of that's in direct violation of what the Lord said. Amen? Jude 1 verse 4 says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying. See that word denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ? That word denying is the exact same word used in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where it says if we deny him, he will deny us. These guys did not creep in unawares saying, they didn't creep into the church unawares saying Jesus is not Lord. Nobody would listen to them. What they're saying is, we deny that his teachings apply to you. They are contradicting the Lord. And I fear for their soul. I fear for them. You read the rest of Jude, it's not good. It's not good. Okay? Now, in context of where we are tonight, I don't know anybody here that's really in danger of that. But I will say this. On your journey, getting back to the subject matter, our Lord is on a long journey. He's been gone a while, physically from the earth. He has given to his servants authority, and he has given you your work. When you do pray and you hear him, what he says to you is going to be bigger than you, but it's sure not bigger than him. Where Gary denied the Lord, not that I was denying that. I mean, I loved him and I was contradicting him. He would tell me to do something. I make joke about it, you know, like, because what did he tell me to do? I had no money to do it. And I said, Lord, have you seen my checkbook? And I feel like he was saying, have you seen mine? Your job is to take the responsibility for what I said. I have given you authority for this work. Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full, whatever it is. If it's physical things like computers and printers and whatever you need, ask. If it's anointings, if it's something you need in the spiritual realm, ask. That's really Luke 11 where they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he was teaching them about how to get the bread to deliver to other people, to serve healing off of God's table, to serve miracles. Well, ask, he said, ask and keep on asking. Doesn't mean keep on asking for the same thing. That violates Mark 11, 22 through 24. No. Ask, receive, go do, come back and ask again. Come back every day. Come back more than once a day. At the point for tonight, say this with me. Jesus gives me my work. I have work to do in the kingdom. And He has given me authority to accomplish the work that He's called me to do. My job is to seek first the kingdom every day. That means His work comes before my work. His kingdom first. My kingdom second. And I'm also supposed to seek His righteousness. That means I believe I have been made the righteousness of God. That means I believe I can walk free from sin every day. Even if I fall, I have 1 John 1:9. I can confess my sin, truly repent, and He'll forgive me, cleanse me like it never even happened. And I'm fully restored with authority to ask for what I need and get it done. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.